So let's read some scripture here from Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 12. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 12. I cannot see from the back, so I'll just pick it up on my system here, and I'll read along as we go along. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia had a word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to those who were ill, and their illness were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Amen. I mean, most of you who've been coming here every Sunday, you know that we've been looking at the book of Acts since the beginning of this year, and now we are on the book of Mark. I believe it's chapter 12 we are. But today's a Pentecost Sunday. I just want to bring to your attention what it means to us in a very simple way. Obviously, we will not have the time to look into any in-depth study of it, but I would like to bring a few things to your minds. Right from the beginning of this chapter, we see Paul asking the people, and not only people, disciples. That means people who have become followers of Jesus. They believe Jesus, and they've been taught the scripture. And therefore, these are people who are not turning back, who know Jesus, who want to follow him, and who probably serve in church like some of you do, who probably go to church every Sunday like some of you do, some who do good works like some of you do. He found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" They said, "We don't know about it. We've never heard about it." "What then, or what baptism did you receive?" So today I just want to focus on this a little bit. That on the day of Pentecost, God had to announce to the world again. Even at that time, as the world sought to literally shut Christianity down or shut any followers of the way. That means anyone who wants to be a Christ follower, they wanted to shut it down. I mean, it's just like the world that we live right now, where sometimes you cannot even feel that you can be a Christian. Christmas time, and sometimes if you work in a local authority or civil service, they said, "Okay, we cannot put Christmas trees or anything Christian, because some people will be offended." That is not true. Nobody will be offended. But the system wants to shut it down. And at that time, Jesus Christ had died. Jesus Christ had risen. So for the disciples, it was almost like a sense of emptiness and despair, wondering where to go from there. Jesus, throughout generations from Genesis up to Malachi, had been announced. God has, throughout the generation from throughout the Bible from Genesis to Malachi, had been announcing the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He came to give up His life as a ransom for you and me to come to faith in God through Him, and that He died as a payment for our sins so that we can live. God has been announcing this message. The prophets have been announcing it. And each time the world has been shutting it down. And we don't have to wait till Christmas before we announce the coming of Jesus again. But in this time, there was no physical Jesus on the earth. And they need to hear the voice of God again. At that time, there were no God's messengers, prophets as we knew them, around, or people with such titles, to announce God's presence again. So God Himself had to announce His presence as people from all nations, people from all cultures and traditions, just like we had yesterday in Windsor, as they were gathered on the day of Pentecost. God had to announce His presence, and He announced His presence with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So God had to announce His presence. So when the day of Pentecost came, I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. They were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. God had to, this time, announce His presence with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of fire. God had to bring a different and a new spiritual energy into His disciples, who at that time were scared of the authorities around, who at that time couldn't even open their mouth or even open their doors to get out. But they were praying and they were expecting God for His promises to come. And God announced His presence again, this time with the Holy Spirit. So each time we think about the Holy Spirit, let's think about the fact that God wants to announce His presence time and time again to all Christ followers and believers. We read from verse 12 of Acts 2 that the people were amazed and perplexed. They asked one another, "What does this mean? That we hear them speaking in our own language. Are they not Jews? Are they not Galileans? How come we're from Turkey, we can hear them speaking our language? We're from Iraq, we're from Iran, we're from parts of Europe, we're from parts of Africa, Libya and all those, Egypt and all those. But how come we can hear them speaking our language?" Because God wants to announce His presence to the world again. God wants His people to hear Him again. Because remember, 400 years from the book of Malachi to Matthew, the words of God was infrequent, and they did not hear the voice of God until John the Baptist announced Jesus Christ. And now fast forward 30 plus on, it's gone quiet again. But God's word must be heard. Hallelujah. God's word must be heard. The people were perplexed. What does this mean? What it means is that what was written about then is what you are experiencing. I'm just paraphrasing Peter's message. He says, this is it that was written by the prophet Joel. What has been written before then? Several hundred years back is what we are experiencing. So verse 16 of Acts 2 said, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he quoted Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 32, telling you that in the last days or in the dispensation like we are in, God will announce His presence again. He'll pour out His Holy Spirit and people will hear Him clearly. Some will dream dreams, some will see visions, and there'll be signs. And it talks about fire as well. So the Holy Spirit that we're talking about is fire. in the life of the believer. Hallelujah. Think about Peter and the disciples then, who were then scared to do anything. Suddenly, they were on fire for God. To put it in my language, suddenly, they were on fire for God. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, let us not be so sanctimonious about it. Big word, right? Let us not be so smart and clever and religious about it and thinking, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit. Just to mention that, it means something active. It means something alive. It means something lively. It means also fire of God in one's life or in a believer's life. Peter challenges audience to note that what had been written in Scripture, that which was being talked about, is what they were experiencing. Baptism of fire. Our faith must be relevant to live lives. For our God is the God of yesterday, God of today, and God forever. Amen? Amen. So God is not, I mean, the God at all. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, that was then, the apostles. But the Bible didn't refer to them as apostles. It called them the disciples. When the day of Pentecost came, I mean, people who had given their life to Jesus Christ, became Christ followers, and have been taught to know God up close and personal. So today, if you want to be a disciple, then you have to open your heart to this. Because if you say it was then, I mean, some people say, oh, but they said tongues shall cease. I'm not talking about tongues here. But then if you understand Romans properly, I mean, 1 Corinthians 13, right? If you understand it properly and the scripture properly, that refers to the time that Jesus Christ comes again, when tongues will cease, right? So if you say the tongues shall cease right now, then you are actually not haven't actually understood scripture. I'll come back to our passage soon because it's not a very long preach. So I'll say, let us not talk about our faith, but more so we should experience the power thereof. Let us not only talk about the faith that we have in Christ, but let us talk about our experience in Christ as well. Because that's the nature of what Paul was talking about. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So today, if we are here and we baptize our sister Rita, she's saying that she's fulfilling scripture. I heard her, I mean, many times saying, I had to obey scripture. Because it's a good thing to obey God, because obedience to scripture brings the rewards that God has for his people. And that is what we have to look at. I want to obey scripture. So today, if she says that she's turned away from her old ways, whatever it is, and that she wants to be on the pathway to God, she's saying that she's ready to receive the promise of God. And we dedicated our children here today. We dedicated them and we said that the promise is for us and for our children and for those far off. So we are also making that statement that a time will come that our children will also be in that position where they will hear the voice of God clearly, and that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they will actually manifest what the fire of the Holy Spirit is about. So our faith is not just that we come to sit at church and sing some beautiful song, which I thank God for that. But those songs that we sing about God, and it's good to lift our soul and to glorify our God. But what we are trained to say, my brothers and sisters here, is that our faith has power in it. Our faith has fire in it. Our faith has a lot of supernatural things in it. And therefore, we are not here to worship a God who is dead. We are worshiping the living God. And our living God is a wonderful God. It's an awesome God. It's a God who's above all. And that is the God that we are talking about. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God to all who believe in Jesus. This gift is powerful. It releases spiritual passion and testimony for services. The Holy Spirit is our accreditation by God to the world. So when we're talking about God, we're talking about Holy Spirit, the question I ask you, what accreditation, what proof do you have to the world that you are a Christ follower? You can say you have the Holy Spirit, but what is the evidence? What is the evidence? What have you, evidence means something that you can see, right? Because scientists are very clever. They always say we have to go through empirical evidence, something that we have tested, we have seen, it works, it continues and continues and continues. So what is your evidence that you have the Holy Spirit in you? Of course, when you have it in you, it changes your life from bad to good. Because we call it in biblical language, he's your trans-creator. He changes you from one degree of glory to the other. Your body and this time you become goody with time. Because no one is perfect before God. If we judge ourselves against the standard of God, we all fall short. That's what the Bible tells us. So Peter goes on to say that, fellow Israelite, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Saying that you yourself know this, that Jesus Christ, he was accredited with. So if we are Christ followers, then part of our faith is for us to be accredited to the world in signs, in wonders, and in miracles, and let people know this. So the announcement of the day of Pentecost is to bring us to that point, that if the Holy Spirit is not your idea of the promise of the Father, as the prophet spoke about, then what does Pentecost Sunday mean to you? And that is what Paul is alluding to right now. That did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is anything like the Holy Spirit. Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they said. The question, if you read between that, did you receive the Holy Spirit? It is easy for us to say we received the Holy Spirit. But when the next question that follows actually tells you what he meant. Then what baptism did you receive? So effectively saying that, have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? That's the question. Because sometimes we Christians want to run away from the truth and hard questions. Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? It's the day of Pentecost today. The discourse and action that followed shows that there is a baptism of repentance unto the name of Jesus Christ. That's becoming a Christ follower and a baptism by the Holy Spirit that enables one to walk in the supernatural. Baptism by the Holy Spirit is necessary. It's necessary for effective ministry. Those who will open their minds and heart to God will receive this gift of God. And I remember we had a preacher here, guest preacher, Mr. Holsworth, from Agape, not too long ago, and he quoted this chapter, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses. You see, and it is easy for us to say, okay, yes, you have to witness to people to come to Christ. But to be my witnesses is a broader language than just talking to people to become Jesus Christ. You've got to witness evidence, 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 evidence. You'll be my witnesses. So what is this power for? Power to witness by no means as a priority. But it's also supernatural power to manifest God's glory. It's supernatural power to speak the word of God with authority. It's supernatural power to bring salvation to people. It's supernatural power to set captives free. It's supernatural power to speak to unclean spirit and cast them out of people who are troubled. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? If you look at verse 6 for me. So when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Those who were not open to the Holy Spirit, but became obstinate, Paul left them exactly where they were, and he continued preaching the word of God. So today, Our time is gone. I would like to, I would have loved to open this message a little bit, but I would just want to, come to some conclusions to really put some grains of sand on your brains. That, have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Or have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received this gift of God since you believed? Is there any fire in your belly at all? If you are sitting here and you cannot see yourself rising up in the morning, want to rush to the house of God to actually pray and to see people saved and to see people healed and to see people delivered, then you are backsliding right now. The Holy Spirit is not energizing you. God's announcement you need to hear. So today I'm announcing the Holy Spirit to you again. Today is the day of Pentecost. That somehow you and me will be re-energized in passion for the Lord. We will be re-energized in power for the Lord. We will be re-energized to speak to someone. Because if you are afraid as a believer, in this case a disciple, to even talk to someone about Christ, by no means you need that power, that fuel to get you going. Just like having a car. It doesn't matter how much you paid for and how beautiful and how wonderful it is coming, it was manufactured or constructed. If you sit on your driveway and there's no fuel in it, it's not going nowhere. That car is no use. It's nice, as a showroom for your neighbors. But what is important is for that car to hit the road to do the purpose for which it's been sent. So today, if you have the Holy Spirit in you as a believer, a Christ follower, then that Holy Spirit should do the purpose for which it was sent on the day of Pentecost. The purpose for which it was sent on the day of Pentecost, to be his witnesses, to preach to people with authority and power, to be his witnesses, to lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Because that is what, when you read verse 12, you see Paul was doing. The Bible said that he was a man who was doing a lot of miracles. If you can roll on to verse 12, I can see and I'm reading it for them. And I've come to a conclusion. I'll come to a finish right now. So that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illness were cured. And the evil spirit left them. Here was someone who was talking about the Holy Spirit to them. Said, you are disciples. But if you haven't heard anything about the Holy Spirit, if you haven't experienced it, now this is what I want you to do. I want to lay my hands on you so that you can experience it. Walk in power. Amen, Jesus. Because we don't want to be a powerless church. We don't want to be a powerless disciples. God is not looking for nice Christians to be rewarded. Great to be nice, but he's looking for Christians who believe in God and who believe in the word of God in its totality. We cannot pick and choose. Since we pick and choose, we become Baptists, we become Catholics, we become Pentecostals, we become Evangelicals, we become charismatic, we become whatever we want to be. Because we are picking and choosing. But if we are following Jesus Christ, then we will live the word of God. And I'm quite surprised to hear our sister Rita saying that the doctor said, yeah, you have to get on your medication, but pray too. I'm not sure that is in the rule books of the medical profession. Well, these days, that's what the word will tell you. But somehow, sometimes you come to a point that even what has been empirically tested and the medication will not work. And somehow you need a miracle in your life. A miracle means something beyond yourself, a supernatural act of God to intervene and to get, to get people going. It's only the people who really want to stand and believe God and stretch out their hands in faith in Jesus' name. God has given you that authority to really do that. So on the day of Pentecost, I want to remind you once again that you need to leave here thinking that that beautiful car sitting on the drive is no use unless the fuel, and the right fuel actually, is in it. So today, we baptize in water, yes, for repentance to come to Jesus Christ. We dedicate our children according to Scripture so that they can know Jesus Christ. But also, the mark of a disciple is someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and walking in the supernatural anointing of God. and doing the things that God wants to do. There are so many things in this world going on. Sometimes we need a supernatural act to cast out devils. You'll be thinking, oh gosh, that's a Baptist minister talking about. I'm a proper Baptist minister, all right? Because proper is good. But I just want you to understand that Scripture tells us that this is the authority. Of course, when you read Mark chapter 16, verses, it said that those who believe in my name, they will do these things. So why aren't we doing that? Nice Christians is nice, but powerful Christians is better. And that the world will respect us. Because when you have authority, they respect you. If you don't have credibility, no one respects you. And God has given us credibility. And our credibility, as was said of Jesus Christ, is doing miracles. It's making sure that people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Shall I rise up and pray? We're going to pray about a few things that you may have to respond to. I mean, today our service has gone a little bit because of what we did, but we are happy we did what we did. Because it's a good thing. But today, even as you are pondering about it, as you are pondering, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Today, maybe some of you want to receive prayer and be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Some of you know that the fire of God has gone dim in your life and you are a Christian by name. You just move. It's just like a car that is moving and is coasting without power. Yes. You know when you switch the engine off or when you are in traffic, you can actually let your car coast on without much power. But if you really want to get to your destination, you need more power. Some of you need the fire of the Holy Spirit to be upon you. Some of you want to walk in authority in the name of Jesus. And some of you, if you get up in the morning and you are debating whether to read your Bible or to pray, your fire has gone dim. And God today is announcing the Holy Spirit needs to baptize you so that you can follow Him and serve others. You can just pop your hand out that way and I'll just pray. It's a state of always saying reception. It's as if, God, I'm ready to receive. Those who were not ready to receive and became obstinate, Paul just walked away from them and left them. He said, I have no time for you. If this is you, just pop your hand out in the place that you want to receive the Holy Spirit again. Maybe you feel vulnerable today and you want God to re-energize you. The disciples were locked up in the upper room. They were vulnerable. And they asked Jesus. And when Paul met these disciples in Ephesus, he couldn't resist but to ask them, have you received the Holy Spirit? Today, maybe you want to ask the Holy Spirit to come to you. Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ at all, and today you want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior for Him to become your forgiven leader. Today, just say something to Him. I want you to pray to God right now. It does not matter how long or how short your prayers are, God can hear them. Father God, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your church. Father, I pray for anyone stood here who wants to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Father God, baptize that person by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. Be energized by Him to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the evidence of the Holy Spirit will be true in your life today. Father, I pray for those whose light is going off, who's living in fear. Father God, I pray that you yourself come and re-energize them again like you did on the day of Pentecost. Father, I'm praying for those, Father God, who have backslidden and, Father God, do not even enjoy their faith again. Father, in the book of Revelation, you said, I'd rather you are hot or you are cold, for there's no place for lukewarm Christianity. Therefore, remember your first love. Father God, I pray that today you pour out your Holy Spirit upon your sons and daughters. That, Father God, none, Father God, will be left behind without, Father God, being energized by Holy Spirit fire. Father God, some are praying that, Father God, you give that they already have the authority, but they don't know that they will be re-energized with the same authority that you've already given us from the foundations of the earth to anyone who will believe. That, Father God, they will reach out and stretch their hands in faith to lay their hands on the sick and be healed. Father God, to lay their hands on people to cast out devils. Father God, to walk in miracles, oh God. Hallelujah. Father, you are able to do this. And Father God, I'm also praying for the one who today is calling upon you and say, God, I don't understand this, but be merciful unto me, a sinner. Father God, please forgive that person. Cleanse that person with your precious blood and set him or her free right now in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you by your mercies. In Jesus' name, amen.